everybody. So I'm going to give a little discussion about our experiences in the field with launching a program called M4H, which stands for Mobile for Reproductive Health. So this is a little bit different than what you've seen so far. So as we've gone through our process in launching the M4H program, which I'll get into in a minute, I'm just going to give a quick overview of what I'll be talking about. There's, in our experience, three main categories of mHealth. There's data collection, surveillance, there's diagnostics, and then there's information provision, which is where we fall. So I'll be telling you what M4H is, talk about our system development, implementation, and evaluation processes, and demonstrations and experiences with M4H. And then I'm going to wrap up with where we're at the moment, which is dealing with scalability and ownership. So what is M4H? It's a set of text messages that we developed based on existing WHO guidelines that we also tweaked to make sure that they took into account country-specific guidelines as well. We developed the messages and then went out and found a technical partner in Text2Change, which is actually a Dutch company, but they're based in Uganda. And then it's an mHealth system that we're hoping will be easily incorporated and adapted to existing reproductive health programs. So here's kind of a quick little picture of what a sample screen might look like. This has changed a bit over time. But as you can see, we started in fall of 2008. It's funded under a USAID-funded initiative called PROGRESS. It's SMS-based, and it's an interactive ping-pong opt-in system. And what that means is essentially a user comes across the M4H promotional materials, either in a clinic or through a mobile provider or different kind of low-key ways that we've been doing this pilot phase anyway. They can text in the keyword M4H, and they interact with the system as long as they wish to. So, for instance, you see where you could reply one to get information on longer-term contraceptive, and if they stop there, then they stop there. We don't bother them after that. Right now, it's running in Kenya and Tanzania, and there's a URL at the bottom there. We have a little demo you can run through if you're interested at some point. I do want to mention real quickly, we cover 9 methods of contraception in M4H. We cover OCPs, emergency contraceptives, IUDs, injectables, emergency contraception, natural family planning, condoms, sterilization, and then implants as well. So, now, we call M4H a user-driven innovation, and in the mHealth community, I think there's always this caveat of don't take the technology looking for a problem, bring a problem to the technology, and that's exactly what happened for us in this situation. This was a secondary finding of some research we were doing in Ghana and Kenya around emergency contraception users. There was a lack of knowledge about other methods, and we asked the people in our studies to tell us how better to communicate with them about these things, and they said, bring it to our cell phones. So this is one of the quotes that we had. No one has ever done something like this before. It's always about sports, texting Bible verses, love and ringtones. But when it comes to this program, it will encourage people to use the system because they know that they can get information about having unprotected sex. So really, our users brought us to where we are. So just really quickly, a bit about our system development. It took us just under a year and a half to develop and deploy the system. We spent a great deal of time conducting formative research around our messages themselves. We wanted to make sure that as we truncated the guidelines into the text message format, the 160 characters, that obviously the key points were still getting across. We spoke with clinic clients. We spoke with our clinic partners. We spoke with experts. So we really fielded this with quite a few people. And then we actually went out and did usability testing as well to make sure that the logic flow of the system was meaningful and useful to our end users. As I said earlier, the message content was developed based on existing guidelines and tweaked here and there. Currently, the system's operating in English in Kenya and Swahili in Tanzania, and that also came from our users. We were going to provide Swahili in Kenya as well, but the folks that we asked said that they would prefer to see it in English. And we're actually getting ready to kind of swap that and make both languages available in both countries. Also based on some of our system development and testing, early testing, we added a clinic search function, which has been really quite popular. So by typing in, texting in the first 3 characters of your district, you'll get back a list of the clinics that are in that area. So for us, when we came into this arena, we really had a clean slate, which was good and bad. We did a lot of searching around out there. We had considered briefly what options were out there. The web-based options were very popular at the time, but we knew we wanted more control of our system than that as far as designing when the messages went out and how they were structured and things like that. It was a little more sophisticated. We looked, of course, internally to see if we had any capability within our IT group, but this was still pretty new to us at the time, and that capability wasn't there. So we also investigated collaborating directly with mobile phone providers, specifically Safaricom in Kenya. It was tremendously helpful to us. They gave us a lot of insight, but they were a little more interested in seeing how much traffic we would introduce before we went much further. So we really did a lot of our work with Frontline SMS and Mobile Active. I had to put this up there. They were a huge resource for us. They had this wonderful comparison matrix of the different do-it-yourself sort of software that was out there. And, of course, Frontline's been the rock star of the mHealth world in this context. So what we found, though, is that our program was a little different. And, you know, we kind of matured as we figured out what we were doing, and the traffic that came in kind of prevented us from running this on our own system. So I went to a conference a couple years ago and kind of put out there that we were looking for technical partners, and Hayo from Text to Change came up to me afterwards and said, I'm going to be your technical partner. And 6 months later, he was right. So it's been really great. It's been a very, very integrated partnership. They help us every step of the way, and we're involved in a lot of the idea generation around the programming as well. So that's been really great. So implementation successes and challenges. Success is obviously users are accessing our content, which is wonderful. Our partners have been incredibly engaged and growing rapidly, which has been a good problem to have, good challenge to have, I should say. The query-based clinic database that I mentioned is very popular and also growing rapidly, so we're trying to address that right now because obviously the more clinic partners we get that want to be included, you know, you don't want to send someone 50 text messages of clinics in their area. Some of the challenges we've had, system outages, of course, I think that goes with the territory. But right now, trying to catch up, we really wanted to do a pilot and have some evaluation before we went really too large scale, and people are really jumping on board and wanting to integrate it into other programs, which is our ultimate goal, but we want to make sure we have some data to show that it works. So as I type in or move into monitoring and evaluation, we thought this was kind of the old, do you like me, text one for yes, two for no kind of thing. So our evaluation, we have several different approaches. There's what we call continuous electronic data capture, which is essentially looking at the user data as it comes into the system. So what menus they access, things like that, how if they've accessed the system more than once. We also have added an active data collection where we send three questions to our users asking their age, gender, and where they learned about M4H. We attempted to do some clinic-level data collection, but that hasn't quite worked out yet, but we're still pursuing that. We have also done some telephone interviews where we've requested of our users by text if we could contact them by telephone. Those have not been that popular. We've gotten a good bit of telephone interviews, but not surprisingly, the people that use our system tend to be people who text. They don't want to chat. So, but we've gotten some good data there. And we're going to move in the future to do some pre-post data collection and possibly more rigorous experimental or quasi-experimental approaches. Here's a quick run through. These are the questions that we have. This will be posted on the website. We did add the change question, as we call it, which was to assess knowledge and behavior change. And it's open-ended, and it's been really rich for us. And the question is, how has the M4H service changed your use of contraception? So here's some of the responses we've seen. We love getting our data in. One user texted back that it protected them from an early pregnancy. Got an IUD that helped me manage my only two kids with my little monthly salary, got implants for my wife. We've seen a lot of partner discussions reported. This is all self-report, of course, and that's been a really exciting kind of finding as well. So some of the new methodological challenges that we faced were dealing with recruitment and consent issues. Obviously, this was, you know, you can't send a full consent form out, so we've worked really closely with our IRB at FHI 360 to develop initial screens that address all of the key points of informed consent. Question format and order, we've done some work around, you know, is it better to use number or letter responses? We did that. As you saw previously, we have quantitative and then we have open-ended questions. And so we've done a bit of investigation that we'll report on in that as well. Data validity and reliability, we can't do much with that at this point, but we are going to hopefully be able to do some comparisons that we can report on. Response rates, we've been getting about 30% response rates on our data collection requests, the age, gender questions I mentioned. And then we're dealing with the analysis issues of getting the data in and how to incorporate it and dump it in for analysis. So we're just coming to that phase now. What we're calling our pilot period just ended June 30th. So we're pulling in the end of that data now, and we'll start analysis very soon. So here's where we're at right now, sustainability and ownership, which is a big challenge in front of us. We've known from day one that we want to hand this off, so to speak, and we have been working very closely with in-country partners with that in mind. But where we've come to now is who actually owns, this keeps coming up, who owns M4RH in its entirety? So, I mean, you've got a cell phone, you have reproductive health information, and you have this idea. So, you know, is this IP? How do you deal with this? And Text2Change owns the platform. When we come to this, we had this idea of having this perfect little bundle that we could hand off, but it's not been quite that easy. So we're really working, again, very closely with our in-country partners to discuss how we can continue this. And one of the big questions related to this is who's the boss? And that's more with respect to making sure that you can maintain the quality and the relevance and the currency of the content. And then how much does it cost? Our system is quite affordable. We've kept it in the neighborhood of, we say, around $15,000 a year to keep the system running. So we're trying to do our best to make this a sustainable approach. And what else can I use this for? As I mentioned, people are ready to integrate it into other areas, which is great. So we just have to deal with these ownership issues around that as well. So real quickly, I want to talk about a great partnership that we have with Knowledge for Health, K4Health. Real quickly, you can see some of the major points here. It's a Drupal-powered content management system, provides e-toolkits, e-learning, photo share, and a really comprehensive search feature. This is a collaborative agreement between FHI 360 and Johns Hopkins University CCP. But specifically, I want to focus on K4Health's mHealth Toolkit, which has been a really, as I said, just a really great collaboration for us. The goal of the toolkit is to support a sharing space for information that's relevant both to public health and IT folks. It's been supported through the mHealth Toolkit and the mHealth Working Group, which has been going for a few years now. And I'd urge you to go to the website and check this out. My colleague Laura Rainey down here in the front is the lead for the K4Health initiative from FHI 360, and she would love to talk to you about it. There's also some materials on the side there. The challenges that that K4Health has faced are quite obvious, of course. There's just an amazing number of resources out there to follow up and coordinate. And then dealing with the dichotomy between public health and technology and helping establish communication where there's no really common language between these two areas. But they've done a great job and continue to do a great job, so I urge you to check them out. And then my last slide here, just real quickly, is to give a little brief nod out to where we're headed next, which is what we're calling the EC Info Project. We're coming back full circle to our EC users that launched us on our mHealth road here, and we're going to be doing a little more rigorous evaluation here, and we're going to be introducing role model stories, and this is going to be launched in Accra, Ghana, hopefully in October. So we're just getting started with this, but that's where we're headed next. So thank you.